It's time now to look through the window of baseball with Bruce Jenkins, brought to you by Marvin Windows and Doors and Truett & White, the professional builder's choice. Bruce, good morning.
How you doing, Marty?
I'm doing fine. You got home okay?
Yeah, pretty late. I mean, Berkeley to Half Moon Bay, it's not your favorite run at midnight, especially when the Bay Bridge is closed, but I surrounded it and finally got home, yeah.
Yeah, because I read your first story, and it was about 11:20. I forget what time it was, and you said, all right, I can only take you this far from the
Cal
game.
Yeah, I mean, we had a 10:15 deadline, and the game was late in the third quarter, so I had to kind of fake it there, and our drop-dead deadline was at 11:20, and the game
wasn't quite over.
So it was a good night for deadline writing.
All right. Well, it is Sunday baseball. It is finally September 1st. And a couple of thoughts I had coming in this morning. You know, expanding these rosters, everyone, I'm looking at the crawls and under MLB.com right now. They're activating everybody off the 60-day disabled list. I think they're off the bereavement list. I think some people may be dead that they're activating.
But they've come back to life.
Really? I mean, if you're breathing or not breathing, they're going to put you on the roster now.
But Corpse is in reserve tonight.
Yes. Manny Corpus is the one.
Yeah, exactly.
So you think this is too much? That this has always been the sort of a baseball thing. You could activate everybody, 40 players in the dugout. Is it too much? Because it does affect the pennant race.
It's never bothered me. I have an eternal problem with the huge overloaded pitching staffs, 12, 13 guys and a thin bench. That's not baseball. You got to have a larger bench than that. There was a time when 8 pitchers could get you through it, and you had a much deeper bench. And finally we have guys on the bench for late-inning games where guys can manage with a little more freedom. I've also liked it as well to take a look at guys, not just a Heath Hembree on the Giants or a Michael Choice on the A's, but all over baseball. The only problem I have with it is that you might have a team suiting up with 29 guys and another team with 33 guys. And it seems like teams should go into games with equal rosters, okay, which I think would be a relatively simple thing to fix. Just, you activate a certain amount of guys every night. But other than that, I like taking looks at guys, and I like, especially in the National League, you finally have a decent bench.
Yeah, we may see that. That's been proposed in a sort of a taxi squad where, you say, all right, these are my 25 for today. And, of course, if you use certain pitchers, then they're not activated, and you bring in other ones. And, you have
a... Yeah, well, I wouldn't make it 25, though. I'd make it 30.
30, okay.
For September, just so you get a look at a few more guys.
All right. Yeah. Interesting. Last night on the postgame show, first it was a good game last night.
Yeah.
Crawford made a couple of really nice plays at short. And I don't know if you saw a replay of the one where he threw it home and Posey made the scoop for the force out on Hill. Did you get to see that at all?
He was terrific.
Yeah.
The great leaping grab of the belt toss, it was a little off.
Yeah.
It's funny with Crawford. He's so good, and he's so, especially defensively, when he sprained his fingers, that really hurt him. He never made a big deal out of it, but it was a very big deal for defense, and he made a couple errors, and his reputation took a little bit of a dive, right at a time when guys like Andrelton Simmons are really coming on. And I remember Harold Reynolds saying in around May that Brandon Crawford had the best hands in the league at shortstop and was the best defensive guy. And all of a sudden, it's very crowded with guys who a guy like Segura, hits the ball well, and Gregorius, and all of a sudden it's a very crowded picture. But I think Crawford will be glad to come back healthy next year.
Yeah, and if he hits 265, 270, it'd be a tremendous improvement because it's a legit 265. Even though he's gone through some cold spells, but he's hit with power, and he looks confident up there. I particularly like the play where he threw Hill out at the plate because that ball was in the hole. And he leaped up and threw like sort of a rainbow to the plate. And a little, but I for the life of me, what was Aaron Hill doing? I mean, you're forced. As soon as the ball is hit on the ground, you're gone.
Right.
And I think he thought it was a hit, and he just jogged in, and that's the way they got him.
Yeah, that was a little surprising for a guy like Hill, who's pretty much he's a go-getter. And, the Arizona's in a desperate situation. They can't afford a misplay like that. But they got out of it thanks to Eric Chavez, the ageless one.
Yeah, and they pitched him away. Remember how many times you've seen him – you have seen him hit to left field. And I was thinking about when Soriano for Seattle, the closer, came up. He threw about 98, and Chavez took him out to left field a couple of times. And, he can hit that way. That's the way he hits.
I loved it, too. First pitch, he saw that. He didn't waste any time. Game over.
Yeah. Boy, interesting. You know, the other thing I was talking about last night on the postgame show, the Giants are now competing, and you cannot ignore what is going on down south. They pick up Michael Young last night. They will stop at nothing. Mm-hmm. And you just can't rebuild the Giants each year with $60 million, $80 million, $100 million free agents. Now, they have people coming through the pipeline, but I think they got to get them through the pipeline faster and get people to the big leagues faster. I don't think they have the luxury of waiting 4 or 5 years to develop people. Because you have got, this is what baseball's turned into today with Trout and Machado and Harper. You look at this kid, Christian Arroyo, and then just for this, Addison Russell's another one.
Yeah, Bogarts for Boston. Yeah. Comes right up. He looks great.
And Profar. I mean, just because this kid is 18, he had a great Arizona Summer League. Terrific. Well, next year he ought to be in the Cal League. And if he can handle it, he ought to be in Double A and get him up to the big leagues when he's 20. The Giants don't do that.
Talking about guys like Williamson and Escobar and
get them moving.
Yeah,
you can't develop them for 7 years because the Dodgers are going to get people every single day.
I agree with that, and I don't think. Well, I think in Escobar's case, I heard you talking to Bobby Evans yesterday. They kind of feel he's pitched enough innings.
Yeah.
I get that, but a guy like Williamson, who seems like a pretty mature kid, you know. I just don't think you break the kid by if you bring him up and he doesn't do well. I mean, a September call-up can be invaluable heading into next season, you know. And I feel the same way about Gary Brown. I mean, he needs to fix his mechanics at the plate. That was obvious in the first day of spring training, the way he holds his hands. But, you know, I agree with that. The biggest problem is that the guys they have brought up, you know, guys like, you know, Noonan and Kieschnick and these guys are – reasonably talented, but they don't seem to have quite, especially Kieschnick, the presence that you need from a major league guy. But and they're not rich in great prospects. They don't really have any Machados or Harpers, you know, or Trout on the real side. But I do agree with that in principle that a quicker look would be nice.
Yeah, because you can't wait 5 years anymore.
Because the Dodgers are just. They're just getting started right now, and they've got all that money, and they're not going to stop spending like crazy, and they could get away from the Giants.
Yeah. No, so that was, you know, I always come up with something on a Saturday night. You know, so the light bulb comes on at some point about 11 o'clock, and it just hit me. I said, you know, you know their development scheme is to, you know, rookie league, this one, that one, and 4 years later, we'll see you.
Yeah, I think the Williamson case is especially interesting because you've got a lot of power, and this is the kind of guy that they need. I wouldn't even mind seeing Villalona. I mean, what the hell?
Yeah.
This guy's been through so much. I don't think a month of big league ball, if he hit 200, that's not going to break him. I mean, let's have a look.
Yeah, if you come down to Arizona, well, you know, their fall league team has got Kyle Crick.
Yeah.
And that's another one, Crick and Villalona.
Susak
is there and Jared Parker and a couple of relievers.
I'm not so worried about the pitchers because, you know, when they say the guys have been stretched out and extended, you got to take their word for it. You could make mistakes with guys who've been grinding all year to bring them, all of a sudden bring them up to the major leagues and they feel like they got to push it even harder and maybe it set them back a little bit.
Yeah,
but
no.
From the hitters, I definitely think so.
Yeah, I agree. Bruce Jenkins with us on this Sunday morning. I start off the show this morning, September baseball. You know, as I say, it's like going to the eye doctor. You know, they do those little clicks, and does that look better? Does that look better? And eventually it looks clear. When you get to September, the focus becomes a lot clearer on the sprint to the finish.
Yeah, there's an awful lot to look forward to. It's really exciting. It's a shame the Giants aren't going to be involved in it. But, you know, the A's are in a terrific race for whatever it's going to be, the division or the wild card. So much great stuff going on. The National League, it's funny, it's kind of set who's going to be in the playoffs, but I'd like to get assurance that it's all kind of going to come out of the Central. You know, I don't think we really need to see Arizona or Washington get in there. It's all about the Reds, the Pirates, and the Cardinals, and that's going to be great. The American League's wild card race is going to be great, and it's just it's a fantastic time of the year too. You know, with football coming in, and there's so much great stuff going on right now.
Oh, that was the other thing I came up with last night. Saturday night was good for me last night. The other thing I came up with is that in football, in all this college football we're seeing the first weekend, replay is all over the place. But college football fans, they don't say a word about it. It's sort of built into the game. It's sort of like a timeout for us. to relax and take a deep breath. I don't care how long it takes to figure it out. Baseball's different. Baseball is somewhat impatient, and you want the next moment to happen.
Well, because there's just so much waiting in general in baseball. I mean, you're okay with that. You're okay with a guy throwing one pitch and then stepping back behind the mound and adjusting himself and you know, taking his time, and 32 seconds later, here's the next pitch. You don't really need any more waiting, you know, than that. Football is a little more frantic. I will say, if you're writing about the game, you're going, will you get on with it?
Well, you had trouble. I mean, that was built in, a 7:40 start.
Yeah, I mean,
you had built in trouble.
Stanford kicks off at 8:10 next Saturday night.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'll even be down there for that because we can't get anything in the newspaper. But it's gonna really come into play in baseball. When the extended replay kicks in, whether the games are extensively delayed or not, so that'll be interesting.
Yeah, Ken Korak was on with us this morning at 10 o'clock, and we had him on talking about the book that is coming out this week, Holy Toledo, and of course about the great Bill King. You have some thoughts about Bill King, I'm sure.
Oh yeah, geez, and I got a chance to read that book. The publisher sent it to me. I gave it an editing run, a pretty thorough one, and really, really enjoyed it. But Bill King, I mean, I grew up with Chick Hearn in L.A., who I was convinced was the greatest basketball announcer of all time, and still is right up there. But once I heard Bill King and the way that he followed the action, you know, with opinions right in there. I mean, I can't even imagine anybody following the action like Bill King in basketball. So it's unheard of, unprecedented, the best ever, and just easily the best radio NFL announcer I've ever heard. I mean, he comes to life in those old NFL films, absolutely brilliant. And then, at one point, he was doing all three sports in the Bay Area, and of course, he brought his magic to baseball too. But I covered the A's in the early '80s when he was there in the Billy Martin years, and I just remember these scenes on the team flights. The writers and broadcasters traveled on the team flights in those days, which was a tremendous thing. Unfortunately, the modern day guys don't get to enjoy, but you know, with Billy's teams when they were going good, you know, there's Billy on his fourth vodka, there's raucous card games going on in the back, and the stewardesses are, you know, sort of comely and all over everybody. It's just a massive party, and up front there's Bill King and with no shoes on reading Russian literature. just such a classic guy. I mean, I was always in awe of Bill. I mean, I was around him all the time, but I was always very careful of what I said, you know, lest I come off as a bit of a rube, you know, compared to his just knowledge about everything. And I think Greg Papa says in the book that he's America's greatest broadcaster, you know, ever. And I agree with that.
Yeah, it's funny that you say that because I made a reference one day, and he listened to my pregame shows all the time. And I tried to be good for Bill. I was afraid I'd say something wrong. And I made a reference to sort of a gray day out at the Coliseum, and I looked out and I said, it looks like a Monet painting. And, you know, of course, this is a man who, you know, paints. He's a tremendous painter. He's beautiful. And he jumped out of his seat and, like, looked at me and, you know, sort of glared at me. I said, well, maybe not. But
actually, we're talking about Pete Monet.
Right, really, who was just released by the Dodgers, I assume. But it was honestly, that's what Bill was to me, and he made me better because he loved the stuff I did. And, you know, the memories of the game, and I'd run into Furman Bisher or, you know, someone that.
Yeah.
And I was so proud of doing those things because I wanted Bill to hear it. And I really enjoyed him. I loved him. And he had a big influence on me. So the book is terrific. I've read a number of chapters already. They sent me the whole thing to read, but I just couldn't get around to it. But I'm looking forward to having it in my hands. I really am.
Yeah, I just ordered it on Amazon. I'm sure I could get a free copy, but you always want to support the cause. You know, Ken put an awful lot of work into it and proved to be a very good writer in the process.
Amazing.
So it's just it's a terrific thing. Anybody who enjoyed Bill King's work is going to be all over that.
Very good. All right, last thought for you. As we head into September 1st, this is where the stories are made of MVPs, Cy Youngs, Managers of the Year. I kind of put things aside right now and get me to the finish and let's see who makes a difference in the race.
Yeah, I've got a Rookie of the Year vote in the National League, and that's really an interesting group of people there. I mean, I don't think I'm going to be casting my vote until the last, maybe even the last day. which I've always done that, whatever vote I've had over the years. You see some guys, you know, sending it in like September 10th, and, man, it's just wait till this thing's over, you know. But there, so many things are going to come down. You know, Miguel Cabrera's got the abdominal injury, and he's shooting for the Triple Crown, and that's kind of a thorny issue for the Tigers. And, you know, you got Kershaw going for the Cy Young, and there's so much great stuff going on. But I've really been focusing on the Rookie of the Year with Puig and Jose Fernandez, and there's just a whole bunch of guys. I think it's really going to come down to those two guys, interestingly, two guys from Cuba who had a long and difficult road to get here, to say the least, and they're just dominating.
Boy, good story. See, this is what I'm talking about with, honestly, rushing people to the big leagues. And, of course, you have to be ready. And yeah. Kane was up early. Bumgarner was up early. But look at baseball today. And you just talked about two people that are up, and they are major impact people in baseball. Yeah, I think you have to do it.
Yeah, I love seeing a guy who hasn't really been around, is young, hasn't done a lot of time in the minors. Puig was in the minors for, like, you know, 10 minutes. And
well, you and I saw him in spring training.
Yeah.
You know, and I said right away, I said, this guy's a monster.
Yeah. And, but when they step into the spotlight, they're ready to go. You know, there's no nerves. They feel like they own the joint, especially Puig. He actually, literally, like he owns the place.
He may. Cool. Maybe he's Yasiel O'Malley Puig.
Give him the keys.
Right. All right. Hey, Bruce, what's up today for you?
Real big tennis match, one of the more significant tennis matches in quite a while in America, with Sloane Stephens going against Serena Williams.
Okay.
And, of course, watching the Giants and the A's, and all good.
Very good. All right, have a great day. We'll talk to you next weekend.
Thanks, Marty. Appreciate it.
All right. Boy, Bruce Jenkins on a Sunday morning, huh? That is pretty, pretty good, as Larry David would say. All right.